Hello, this is just a quick boo, really, in response to Sam's post about having a very positive accessibility experience yesterday when she went to her local library. For those of you who don't follow her, then perhaps you should. She is at Dreamcatcher SJE, and she told the story of how she went to the library where they have some information desks on behalf of the council because she had to sort out something to do with housing benefit. Excuse me. And a man was asked to help her, and she thought he was a bit miserable at first, and then he turned out to be really good, and he asked how she was going to read the correspondence that was sent to her, and he said that they must get it in an accessible format, and he arranged for it to be sent to her in email. That's the gist of the story. So off the back of this, I remembered that I needed to call Housing Benefit myself. It's a bit complicated, but last week I received... Now, what did I get? Was it a phone call? Yes. I got a phone call from my housing association. Now, something complicated happened when I first moved in here, whereby I had to move in here quickly because they don't hold the tenancy open for more than a couple of days. They'll pass it to someone else. But I was in a temporary accommodation, which was through a letting agent, but it was on behalf of the council. They've just short-term leases for people who are trying to find a permanent home, and I was one of them. We were one of the families. Now, they were paying housing benefit for that property, and I asked for a double for 2 weeks. Oh, this cat, she's like a, excuse my expression, a blue-ass fly. Don't keep doing it. Go on in there. She's in, out, go in. If you want to go in, go in. Do you want to go out? Do you want to go out? Come on. Or exactly what do you want? Go on. Go outside then. Go on, quick. See, she doesn't go. Okay, I'm ignoring you now. Yeah, so I asked for what they call a dual payment for obvious reasons, because I couldn't just move out of one place. I still, you know, I had to give a certain amount of notice before I could relinquish the tenancy, and I had to take this one straight away. Now, as far as I knew, it had been granted, but then I found out about 6 months ago that it actually hadn't, and I still owed that money. And I just spoke to Housing Benefit, and they said, they make it so complicated that you lose the will to live. So basically, I thought, I'm just going to pay it. So with the Housing Association, I set up a payment plan whereby I pay a certain amount each month. So they rang me. I've been doing that for about the last 5 months. They actually rang me on Thursday from the Housing Association, and they said, have you got this payment in place? Yes. I've said I've been paying it for the last 5 or 6 months. Okay. Right, I just want to check. I was just checking that that's okay. And it was like she was looking at something. Right, okay. Everything else is okay. Now, get the date of this. It was Thursday the 19th. Thursday. So keep that date in your head. Or that day. Saturday the 21st, I received a letter, in print, of course, saying that my rent is I can't remember whether it was 12 or £48 in arrears. That's not even a month's rent. It's just short of a month. So, and it was a big spiel about when you signed the tenancy agreement, you agreed to pay your rent and all this. Now, everyone knows, and they should know by now, that Housing Benefit pay in arrears. They pay a month behind, so I'm technically always in arrears, but they know the money comes. It doesn't come to me. I'm not one of these people on Universal Credit. It goes straight to the Housing Association. So it said, please contact Housing Benefit. So I've just contacted Housing Benefit, and they said, okay, a payment was made on the 19th. And I said, okay. And it was for the right amount, which was over £900. So I thought, well, that's fine. So I rang the Housing Association back And I spoke to someone and I said, look, I've just spoke to Housing Benefit. And they said that they'd made a payment on the 19th. So she looked and she said, well, we haven't received that yet, but I'll put a note on here. I said, well, I wonder why that is. But then I said, oh, well, I suppose it was only made on the 19th and then it's the weekend and, you know, it's only Monday. 19th, when was 19th? Yeah, 19th was Thursday. It's only a few days. So they should receive it. But I said to her, look, I know, you know, I said, I don't know if there's anything you can do about this. I said, but I've had a tenancy with Viridian since 2011. I said, we're now in 2015. I said, I've asked for correspondence in an accessible format. Even if it's just a phone call. And I said, and it doesn't happen. Okay, they did call me last week to ask about that payment thing, but I don't know what that was all about. But my question anyway was, why did they say that everything else was fine, which is exactly her exact words, and then 2 days later, I got a letter saying I'm in arrears? Now, does that make any sense to anyone? Because it certainly doesn't make any to me. So anyway, the upshot of it is, I said, look, I wasn't rude, but I said, I really need to have my correspondence in an accessible format. I said, either email or Braille, but even a phone call. I said, you know, for repairs, for instance, they send me out print letters. I've actually had them turn up on the doorstep because I either didn't get the letter or I hadn't got, you know, no one had got round to reading it to me. And I wasn't expecting them coming. And so I will struggle to get it from them, I know. She said, well, we can certainly ask for it. Well, I have asked for it before. I've asked that they call me instead of sending me letters. I like Sam said, I don't mind getting the print letters. You know, it's often handy to have them because sometimes you need them as proof of something. But I do like to have some other form so that I can actually know about it first. Now, I know I live with three-sighted people. They all pretty busy, really. Well, Ronan's not, but he probably will be at some point soon. And it's really, really not the point, because all these things are in my name. They are addressed to me. And what I really hate is when someone else opens my letters, and my family are the worst for this. There's a silence before, and they read it to themselves before they read it to me. Now, I really, really hate that. And, you know, and then they go, oh no, or oh dear. And I think, and I go, I'm really stressed out. And I'm going, what? Read it out. And this is so unnecessary. You know, life is stressful enough as it is, and these things are addressed to me. They're not addressed to them. Okay, I appreciate them reading them to me. But say, for instance, me and my husband have a row. Okay, everyone rows sometimes or has little niggles. We're not really talking to each other and the kids are not here and a letter comes. I want to be able to read it myself. I don't want to have to go to him and say, I know we're not really talking, but, you know, can you read this letter to me? Because it might be something important. That's the kind of thing that when you put letters aside and they get forgotten. And as I've catalogued on here at great length, if I'd have had my tax credit letters and the correspondence in Braille, I wouldn't now be owing them nearly £2,000 and having to pay it back. That's the top and bottom of it all. So I'm getting on everybody's cases now. I'm not meaning to complain. I just want the same rights as everyone else, the right to be able to open my letter and read it myself. And I then also asked the council. I said, look, the Housing Benefit Office, I have asked for my stuff in Braille and it's still not forthcoming. I'm still receiving letters. And she said, oh, well, she looked, she said, well, we have passed it to the IT department. It will happen. I said, good, because that will make my life so much easier. I think they told me they couldn't do email, although there is an email address to send stuff to them, but I find when you do that, they never reply, and that's why we hand stuff in. Obi takes it to the offices and hands it in if we need anything doing, which he did today, because you get a receipt for it then, so we've got proof that we did take it there in case it goes missing in the system. Whereas when you send an email, you get no response because I've done it. Well, of course, you've got the proof of the email if you save them, which I do, but not everybody would. And then the very disappointing thing was all the hoo-ha with the HMRC. And, excuse me, and I did receive two lots of correspondence in Braille from them with the print copy in the envelope, which is fine. And then, very disappointingly, I received a print letter from them the other day about my payment set up and no Braille at all. So I think that was just a one-off. Hopefully I won't have much more correspondence with them. I really sometimes feel like tearing my hair out over this issue because it's in this day and age. I know when I talked about this, I was surprised to hear from Gwent-Leanne that they don't get anything in Braille in Canada, not even from the equivalent of the RNIB there. It's all print, which I think is an absolute disgrace. And Carmwater73 said they don't get anything in Braille in Israel either. And so I am thankful for what we do get. But in a way, it's more frustrating to know that it is possible here and to know that all the banks, the utility companies and phone companies and everybody can produce stuff in Braille, but the local government departments seem to really struggle with it, and they, as I've said before, really ought to be the flagship, if you ask me. They ought to be up in the forefront providing this kind of service for disabled people. I mean, it's not just the visually impaired, there's other, you know, there's other other disabilities which might need extra support, like there's you know, people with dyslexia and etc. Now, I did get a letter from Housing Benefits Support about a week or so ago requesting some information. They wanted to know, they wanted proof that I'm not receiving child benefit for Ronan anymore because he's not in full-time education. So they either wanted letters from the Child Benefit Agency, an awards notice or a letter saying that it's stopped being stopped, or they wanted bank statements proving that when it, you know, one with it being paid and then one, you know, a subsequent one with it not being paid. So I thought that was the easiest option, although the bank charged me £5 for the privilege. I thought it was quicker than waiting for housing child benefit because that can take weeks. So I got that within a couple of days, so that was good. But they asked for this information, and then they rang me yesterday and said they wanted to come out and see me. And I said, okay, but they said that we know there's some information. They were basically saying they were coming out to help me get my information together, which is actually very nice of them. But I said, look, I'm sorry, but if that's all you're coming to see me about. She said, oh, yeah, it is. I said, I really don't need you to I didn't say waste your time because that sounds rude, but to spend the time, I said, because my husband, I've got the information, I know exactly where it is, and he's bringing it in tomorrow, which is today. So I said, you'll get it more quickly if he does that than if you come and get it on Wednesday. And to be honest, I said, well, you can come if you like, but I don't really feel like dealing with these people. I didn't kind of like the sound of her. I don't know what it is, you know, like sometimes when you get an instant feeling about somebody. But that's going to bring me on to another point in a minute, but believe it or not, I actually have a point to what I'm saying. No, but the benefits thing, that's very nice of them, but I don't know whether she expected me to have to come here and go through all my drawers and find the information. I actually told them at the time, because I spoke to them following this letter, I don't have the information. I will get it. It's not like it's lying around at home somewhere. I actually don't have it anymore because anything that I had had from them saying that they're stopping my payments, which was last year, the last one was in the beginning of September, I would have thrown away by now because it's not the sort of thing I keep. The sort of thing I keep are awards notices saying that you're receiving this benefit for such and such a reason or whatever. I keep things like that, of course, but stuff like we're no longer going to be paying, I will chuck in the bin. So Anyway, I just wanted to say, again, with regard to what Sam was telling us, when she said the man came along and she thought, oh no, not a miserable so-and-so. And then it turned out to be the complete opposite. And I just wanted to just make a quick point, how wrong we can be sometimes on first impressions. I mean, I've had this before, you know. I remember one really embarrassing time years ago when I was with my ex and we went to this place. We were living at a hostel at the time in London, and we were working, but the kitchen was down, which was probably a blessed relief because the food was absolutely diabolical. So they were giving us vouchers. I don't know if they came from the as it was in those days, the DSS. to go to local restaurants. They couldn't be anything expensive, to get our evening meal. So we went to this particular one. It was in Notting Hill Gate, and the food wasn't very great, to be honest. It was all right. And there was these people on the next table, and they were so loud, and there was this bloke with the most irritating laugh. They were just kind of annoying. I think they came and were irritating and harassing us about the dogs, but not in a bad way, but just, you know, when you're having your meal and you'd rather just get on with it and have someone talking about your guide dog. Anyway, we kept saying, oh, for goodness sake, hurry up and go. Not to them, but, you know, like under our breath kind of thing. Anyway, when they went not long before us, and, you know, there was a whole group of them. And then when we went to pay with our vouchers, which is a bit mortifying, but they said, oh, no, don't worry about it. The people on the next table paid for your meal. We felt really awful. You know, we really felt terrible. It was so awful. You know, we couldn't stop thinking, oh, God, you know. That was such a kind thing. You know, hopefully they didn't think poor blind people. But even if they did, it was still a nice gesture. And we were so kind of, oh, they're a pain in the arse. Why don't they hurry up and go? And they're so loud. And, you know, they were very annoying. And especially one of them that had this really loud laugh. And I suppose it was the end of the day and we'd been at college or whatever. And we were sort of just a bit frayed at the edges, probably. But anyway, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. Sometimes it happens in life. We meet someone and we think, oh, please. I mean, usually, I have to say, my instincts are usually right. If I don't like the sound of someone or don't get a good feeling about them, I'm usually right in my assessment. I think I'm quite a good judge in that way. I don't mean it as in being judgmental. I just mean it as in knowing, getting a feeling for somebody. So I think I'm probably right with this woman. I didn't like the sound of her. I can't explain it. I can't put my finger on it. She's a bit like the woman. She reminded me, not anything she said, but I got that feeling about the woman. Now, I told you all on here about how an ex-social worker was helping me with something, and we parked the car and she went in the co-op and she came out and she said, this really is the land of brown babies, meaning like mixed race children where there's a black father or mother and a white father or mother. And coming from an ex-social worker, I was absolutely disgusted. And you could have heard a pin drop, because the silence was, well, sometimes the silence can speak volumes. Sometimes the silence can be really loud, if you know what I mean. And this was a really loud silence from me, because I actually wanted to land her one, because my nephews and my niece are mixed race. And I don't see any problem at all with anything like that. I mean, if we were all like that, maybe there wouldn't be any, well, there would be trouble, but there'd be a different kind of trouble. There wouldn't be the trouble there is. And most of you probably know anyway, I'm married to a black man, so a real life African, a very divvy one, bless him. Oh, here comes the cat. Hello, you. You're a pain today, aren't you? You've got ants in your pants. You have. Pink. Anyway, that's about it, really. No, I'm not saying that woman from the council support thing, housing benefit support, was like well, I nicknamed her Brown Babies after that. Not to her face, but I'd always refer to her, not by her name, but I'd say, oh, I've got to see, oh, God, I've got to see Brown Babies today. I didn't care for her much anyway, even before she made that comment. There was something about her that I just couldn't get past, and I don't know what it was, and that's how I feel about some people. You know, most people I get on with, fine, but there was another woman while we're on the subject, and I always felt terrible about this. I felt really guilty, and I don't know what it was about her. There was this... I can't remember. I don't think it was Homestar. It was something like that, where they... It was a new thing in our area. Now, you can get down now, please. Go on, down you go. Good girl. Go on. Or sit there, then. Don't keep... She keeps coming up and putting her head in my face, which is fine, but at the same time, she puts her front paws on my chest, and you know what the cats need with their claws, and she keeps, and they go, it's going through my jumper, and it hurts. Stop it. We know you're lovely. All right, now sit down quietly now. Yeah, this woman, it was a new scheme, and that they would send somebody to help like a certain amount of times a week, a few hours here and there, with under school-aged kids. Now, I could have done with this with mine sometimes, you know, to help me take them out and stuff. I did take them out, and I never let them miss out on anything, but it would have been nice to have someone with me, especially with Ronan, because he was much more of a handful than Connor, who was the oldest one, for those of you who don't know. And so this scheme came along when Ronan was about four. Excuse me. And it was only 6 months before he was due to start school. And I think they did make an exception in my case, because actually I think it wasn't about whether they started school. It was up to the age of five. Now, Ronan started school when he wasn't even four and a half. So, you know, I think she came to see me for about a year on and off. And I didn't like her. And I didn't get on with her, and I don't think she really liked me either. We never said anything, but there was something between us. It was like bubbling under the surface, that we irritated one another. And I used to feel really guilty because she did some really sweet things, and I feel bad even saying it now. And, you know, but I think she felt the same. For a start, she had two boxer dogs, and they were... two males, and boxers can be very much a handful, and I think hers were a bit. They weren't neutered, and I think they were quite out of control. And I never met them. I think actually I did meet them in the back of the car once, but she didn't bring them to my house or anything. But as a result, I don't think she liked the way I was strict with my guide dog, because she didn't understand it. She's one of these people who thought her dogs were her babies. I don't think she'd ever had kids. I can't really remember. Maybe she couldn't have any, I don't know. So she didn't really... I think that's the top and bottom of the whole problem that was between us. She didn't like the way I'm, you know, I didn't let my dog do this and I didn't let it do it. Well, that's what we have to do. It's a working dog. I didn't let my dog get on the sofa. I didn't have Lammy then. I only had a guide dog, because this was back like in about 2001 or something. So I didn't let her get on the sofa, I didn't let her scavenge, I didn't give her titbits. No, I didn't, and I still don't. I mean, okay, I'll give him treats, dog treats and stuff, and you see, it's my dog now still not allowed on the sofa. I don't do that. Okay, my little one is, he's a pet, and I know maybe I should have all one rule for both of them, but I haven't, and that's just the way it is, and it doesn't matter. The other one doesn't mind. They're not like kids who say, hold on a minute, that's not fair, he can do that, the dogs aren't like that. Plus, the only reason I let this little one on there is because he's a poodle and he doesn't shed hair. He must, sometimes it must come out, but it grows like our hair. And he doesn't smother the place with hair. And he's bathed very regularly. So I think that was the top and bottom of it. But, you know, we did go on some nice outings with her. She'd take us to, like, these kids' farms where you can touch the goats and things. And one day she took us to this garden centre for the kids to see Santa, but Ronan played up. And she didn't really understand when he played up. He was a handful. And she didn't understand it. I think she thought I was slapdash with him, or I wasn't strict enough. She didn't understand the rules I had and my boundaries. She actually didn't respect them even. And that was another problem. Maybe, I don't know whether she thought I was too strict with him or not strict enough. I wasn't ever quite sure about that. I was quite strict with him, but I needed to be. He was a handful. He still can be sometimes. He always had a trouble controlling his temper. Even when we were out. And if he demanded things, I'd say no. No, you can't have that. No. And sometimes he'd swear. I remember him swear at me in Woolworths once because we had some money. He'd got money for his birthday or something. And we went to spend it. And I said, you can have this, this, this and that, or whatever it was. And he always has to push the boundaries. That's Ronan. He always has pushed the boundaries. He'll say, he want one extra thing. Can I just have that? No. I said, and we had the things out on the floor. I said, look, you can have this, this, that and that. But I want that. Well, okay, put one of these back, then you can have that. Yes, but I want that as well. This is how it would go on. So we went to the counter and we were queuing up. Now, unknown to me, he was a bit older than, I think he was about 6. He went back. He either went back to get this particular thing or he had it all the time in his hand and he never put it down. But when we got in the queue, he actually presented to me and said, I've got this. By the way, I said, well, you're not having it. I've already told you. Now, if this had been my sister, she would have given in because she didn't want a scene. And that's why her kids don't respect her in some ways. And they demand money off of her. And sometimes they've been known to go and take it out of her bag. Now, mine would never do that, ever. Hers were doing it when they were about 3. So he threw the things on the floor and said, you do, or whatever, which was highly embarrassing. And I thought, well, okay. I don't know what everyone else thinks. They probably think blind woman's got no control. But you see, the thing is, I know I'm going from one subject to another here, but the thing is, I could have pretended I had control by saying, okay, I don't want to cause a scene. I know he's going to lose his temper now, so I'll just let him have it. But at the end of the day, that was making a rod for my own back. And it might have appeared to, I might have appeared to be in control of things by other people's standards or point of view. But actually, that would have been him controlling me. So I didn't really care what they thought. I expect I got some dirty looks. I expect he got some dirty looks. But anyway, I said, okay, you know what this means, don't you? I don't know if you know what coming, you lot. I said, you're actually going to get nothing now. And we picked everything up. I think my sister was with me. And we took it and we put it all back. And that was the end of the shopping trip. And, you know, so this lady that came from the, I don't know whether, was it Homestar? I don't know if that's something completely different. It was something like that, with a name like that. I can remember at this garden centre, I think he ran off or something, and because he couldn't get his own way about something. And I don't know whether she thought I was mean now, or whether she thought I should have let him have it, or whether she thought that his behaviour was bad and it was because of the way I'd brought him up. But she was, oh, I don't know, me and her just didn't hit it off. And another thing which she did, which I really hated, was she was all, I don't know if she had some problems at home that I didn't know about. And obviously she's a volunteer, so, you know, it was her own time and I was thankful for her giving it up. But she was one of these people who'd always promised the kids that we would do this and we'd do that, and then we didn't. And you can't do that to kids because they just remember everything. And often she would, they'd get really excited because we're going to a farm, we're going to have a picnic or whatever. And then she'd ring up right at the last, she was always late. That was another thing which drove me insane. Anyone who's had kids or had dealings with kids knows when you've got young kids and they're looking out the window, it's enough to send you off the blooming edge of the planet, I tell you. Where is she? Is she here yet? When's she coming? Why isn't she here yet? Oh, she's not coming. And then, of course, you have to tell them. Then the phone rings. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I can't make it today. And it, And it never seemed to be for a very good reason, like she's ill or something. But of course, because she's a volunteer, you can't say anything. But then I was left to tell them, sorry, she's not coming afternoon. I'm sorry, Chris isn't coming today. She's, whatever, I can't even remember what the reason she gave. Her mum's not well. Well, if that was a reason, then that's a valid excuse or reason, sorry. But I don't think that ever was the reason. But whatever it was, I had to tell the kids, she can't come today. She can't make it. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Sometimes she'd be late and then she'd ring up and say, I'm sorry, I can't make it. And that drove me mad because I had them, it was mostly Ronan because he was the youngest one. And, you know, he didn't know what to do with himself because he was really restless. He'd be looking out the window, waiting. And then he'd get into mischief because he was bored. And then he'd start irritating Connor and then the arguments would start. Well, to be honest, that's never stopped, but... So I didn't like it that she let them down a lot of times, more than was acceptable, even for a volunteer. And I don't know how it finished in the end, whether I think one day she just didn't turn up. And I think I got in touch with the people and I said, look, you know, I can't remember. I don't think I said I didn't want her to come anymore, but I can't remember whether I said it wasn't working out or whether she did. I don't know whether she just bit off more than she could chew. I mean, they weren't that bad. It was, you know, Ronan's a little bit of a handful. He was a bit challenging at times, but he wasn't that bad. I mean, I've heard and do still hear much worse kids, far worse kids around than him. You know, so, but usually my first impressions of someone are the right ones. And anyway, but sometimes we can form an impression of someone and then it turns out to be we have to eat our words or whatever it was we thought about them because we couldn't have been further from the truth, and that's what happened with Sam. Anyway, I think I've successfully bored everyone to tears. For a very long time, so I'm going to upload this and go and finish my tea. Bye for now. 27 minutes. Pause recording.